accessing supernatural supplies. Dash. Financial wisdom. This will be part one. Because we are unable to finish this message today, we'll be continuing it on Sunday. But I want to congratulate you for being in this first session, because it will deal with very, very strategic, highly impactful subject. Accessing supernatural supplies, which we started last Sunday. We dealt with about 5 or 6 points last Sunday. And now we are dealing with just one of them, that is called financial wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 23 and 24. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 23 and 24. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And as they came, they brought their presence: vessels of silver, vessels of gold, garments, armor, spices, horses, mules, a rate year by year. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and in verse 10, the Bible said, if the iron be blunt and it does not sharpen the edge, he must put to it more strength, but wisdom is profitable. Wisdom is profitable to direct. Scriptures make it abundantly clear, first, that wealth travels in the direction of wisdom. Second, that mentality attracts prosperity. Wealth travels in the direction of wisdom. Mentality attracts prosperity. And three, sense secures supply. That is why when people are not sensible, they suffer losses. Wealth travels in the direction of wisdom. Mentality attracts prosperity. Sense secures supply. That was why the Bible said Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. Because everywhere people reason, their riches follow. For riches and for wisdom. That was why the Bible said wisdom is profitable, which means wisdom brings profit. Solomon exemplified that in scripture, that where there is wisdom, there will be wealth. Jacob also. You remember Jacob, how he served Laban. In Genesis chapter 30, verse 37 to verse 43, Jacob devised a means, a wisdom means, that made him to literally transfer the wealth of Laban. A wisdom means. Even though Laban tried to change his wages 10 times, yet he couldn't stop Jacob. Wisdom. In this message, we shall be looking at practical wisdom actions for supernatural supply. The wisdom that is needed to access divine abundance. You know, big doors are swung by little hinges. There may be very, very little things that you may have overlooked, ignored, or thought irrelevant, but very, very important. I pay my tithe I give offerings. I do this and I do that. Why is it that I still don't have the kind of supplies I want? Maybe there are things that need to be done you are not doing. We're going to look at 5 or 6 of the wisdom actions tonight, and then we continue on Sunday. Number one, be productive or produce something. Be productive or produce something. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God speaking to man, he said, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful, or be productivity. There is a connection between the blessing of God and the productivity of man. There is a link between the blessing of God and the productivity of man. God does not bless unproductive people. God cannot bless irresponsible people. God cannot bless people that are not resourceful. Be productive. Produce something. It has been said in financial cycles that money is the reward people get in exchange for the provision of goods or services. When a person produces goods or produces services, money is given to him in exchange. The tailor produced the cloth. For producing the cloth, he is permitted to get money. The dry cleaner dry cleaned the cloth. He didn't produce it, but he rendered a dry cleaning service. For producing that service, he is entitled to money. Only fraudsters and magicians want to get money without producing anything. Am I communicating? Produce something, either a good or a service. Like we have said before, there are many people who are paying everybody for the things the people did for them or produce for them, but they are doing nothing for which they will be paid. For example, you woke up in the morning out of a bed that somebody manufactured, maybe with a cover cloth that somebody sealed, stepped into a bathroom through a door that a carpenter made, entered the shower created by somebody, connected by plumber, using the soap that was somebody's product, cream that somebody manufactured, came and wore dresses produced by another person, and put on a watch that was the product of another person, sprayed a perfume manufactured by somebody, stepped into a car produced by somebody, repaired by another person, went to sit in an office chair manufactured by somebody, writing on a table produced by somebody, using a pen produced by somebody, on a paper manufactured by another person. And all these things, you didn't get any of them free of charge. You sent for food produced by somebody that was served by another person. Question is, what did you produce? It may not be the physical, tangible product. What about service? If you are not the producer, the manufacturer of a product, what about services rendered? I can tell you there are people rendering services that are earning more money even than those who produce goods. Apple is producing solid things Apple iPhones. Facebook, to my knowledge, is producing nothing except services there. All right? What they are producing is a service. Just show your face. And then chat, send message. That is, I want to buy something from Facebook. Nothing like that. That's, I want to buy a shoe. Nothing. Yet, I'm sure they are ahead of Apple in terms of cash. So it's not a matter of whether something tangible was produced, but something must be produced if it is a good or it is a service that your generation will also pay you for. And it starts from where you are. It starts from the office setting where you are working. It starts from the organization where you are working. Just ensure that you are not a liability entity. That you are not a consumer personality like we have a consumer nation. Importing everything, exporting nothing. Nigeria, is, for example, is more like a dumping ground for every kind of product from everywhere in the world. Good products, bad products, fake products, everything. Nothing sending out. We are importing. We are not exporting nothing. And the things that we are importing, they are eating all of it up at home. So it's a pauper nation, almost the poverty headquarter of the world. A big nation like this. Because we produce nothing. Am I communicating? Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. It is very, very important that we be productive. Somebody is asking me, are you asking me to resign from my work? No. That's not what. There are employees that are worth millions in various currencies by the quality of the work they do. Supernatural financial giants in scripture produce something. Either a service or a good. Abraham was a livestock farmer. Isaac was an irrigation farmer. Jacob was an animal husbandman that stepped into genetic engineering. Joseph was a corporate servant who had the wisdom capacity to dissolve naughty things. No wonder they paid him high for interpreting the dream of Pharaoh. That was a service rendered. Am I communicating? Daniel was a public servant, an administrator by excellence, a politician extraordinaire. That was who he was. Stepped into the academic world, the political realm, and excelled there. All the people you saw in scripture that God gave substance to, none of them end it by luck. They all end it by the production of something. David was an instrumentalist. Powerful instrumentalist, and also was a warrior, a fighter, and that expertise took him up in his realm. Beloved, tonight, God is saying, be productive, produce something. You see, I'm already... Beloved, tonight, God is saying, be productive. Produce something. You see, I'm already producing something. What is the next step? Present quality. Number two, It is not enough to produce something, whether it is a good or a service. It is important to present quality. Note this: quality attracts opportunity. Second, quality brings quantity. Quality attracts opportunity. Quality brings quantity. And thirdly, quality attracts prosperity. Quality. That was one of the great assets, great secrets of the King Solomon. He was a man in possession of quality. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 4, all the way to verse 8. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom, I'm going to paraphrase it, and the quality of the house that he had built, and the excellence of his table, and the dignity of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and the regalness of their dressing, and the cupbearers, and the accent by which went into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. One translation says she fainted. And she said, it is a truth that what I heard of you, verse 6, it was true report that I heard in my own land of your acts and of your wisdom. He said, but the truth is, I believe not the words. They said, can there be such level of quality anywhere? Until I came and my eyes saw it. And behold, I confirmed that the half of it was not told to me. Your wisdom, your prosperity exceeds the fame that I heard. Am I communicating? Happy are these your men that stand continually before you to hear your wisdom. Present quality. If it is a product, present quality. Am I communicating? Quality attracts it. You know, there are different kinds of tailors. There is a tailor in my village that can sew coat. The question is, can I wear it? Can I wear it and stand here now and preach? I can go and say, tailor, make coat for me. It's not suit or coat. He will make it. The truth is that the shoulder will be, one shoulder will be up, the other one will be down. And then the lining inside will very soon begin to draw the back of the suit. And then you'll be wondering whether I owe somebody something that they are holding me at the back. That was a level of tailoring. Don't misunderstand me. It is good enough for the village. When the village town crier wears that coat like this, he's a celebrity there. But if he arrives town, he can only be tolerated. Take your seat. And then I leave the village, I come to our little town there. There's another tailor. And I remember wearing the suit I wore on my wedding day was sewn by a tailor in our town. He was very, very good. But I look at that suit today. And I was wondering, why did I consider the man so good? That was to the best of our knowledge. There are tailors in town here. There are tailors in Turkey. There are tailors in Paris. There are tailors in Italy. When they measure you and sew you, it was as if they burn you with a cloth. It's just my communicating. Now, all these things are... Now, the one that sewed for me in the village, I can buy one coat for 2,000. I can also buy a suit for 200,000. I met a tailor in the aircraft. And then eventually we met in America. He measured me and then sewed a suit for me free of charge. I said, what is the cost of this? He says $10,000. for one. That is,
but this is a gift. He sows for kings and presidents everywhere around the world.
He flies first class permanently.
Is it tailor too?
If he buys an aircraft now, I won't be surprised.
We met in the aircraft one day. Why are you going to say he's going to the king of so and so?
Number one king of a country.
He said he is his tailor.
That is, the things are in levels. Quality brings prosperity. There are rooms in Hilton that cost how much? 300,000. 400,000. Some almost a million presidential suit. And there are times where it is not available. That is, you have the money, but it's not available. And there are also hotels around
2,500. Even there can be 900. But in that case, you and Rat will own the room. Because it's possible the Rat paid for the room and you are not aware. They didn't tell you that Rat paid for the room. In fact, the Rat has residency permit in the hotel room. You see? Don't ever forget this for as long as you live. No matter how hard you try, mediocrity can never attract prosperity. No matter how hard you work, for as long as mediocrity is tolerated, poverty is established. This is the counsel before we go to the next point. Be the best and give your best to what you do so you can get the best out of life. Be the best and give the best to what you do so you can get the best out of life. I almost told you on Sunday, I don't know if they have a picture clip of how dressed I was, what I wore on Sunday. That was every single thing, from the tie to the suit to the shoe. Not all the time, but that particular Sunday, I just looked at myself, everything, head down, was homemade. The shoe was manufactured by a member of this church. Suit, homemade. Now, if you saw it and they told you this was made from Italy or anywhere, it's confirmed. But you also need to know the price of it. That is as the selling price. So it doesn't matter where you are in the world, quality can be produced. Quality is producible anywhere in the world. I almost mentioned, I'm sure they will show it. I just wanted you to see it, especially that shoe. If you looked at it, you will think that this came from somewhere, but it came not just from somewhere, but from inside this house. That is, it is possible to export it. This 3 days ago, is this Sunday I'm talking about? 3 days ago. Mediocrity can never attract prosperity. Be the best and give the best to what you do. Did you see that? Every single thing, none of it was brought from nowhere. That is, including that tie and that suit and that shoe. From inside the house here. I see somebody here in a short while to come. What will come out of your life will make news around the world. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer.
If you are saying amen, shout a louder believers, amen. Number three, invest more, expend less. Wisdom, number three. I'm trusting the Lord that we should be able to go up to six tonight. Invest more, expend less.
Money is a seed for investment, not a tool for expenditure. It's a seed for investment, not a tool for expenditure. Don't forget that. Money is a seed designed for investment, not a means of expenditure. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 made direct reference to money as seed. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So he's talking about money. Even though he's talking about giving and sowing in the church, but the fact remains that money is a seed, and the purpose of seed is that it be planted to germinate and bring forth fruit. Am I communicating? In the parable of the talent, when he gave pounds, right? That's right. In Luke chapter 19, verse 22 to 23, he gave one 5, one 2, and the other one he gave him one. And that one said, I know that you are an austere man, so I have kept your money where it is and I've brought it back to you just like that. He said, no, out of your own mouth will I judge you. You wicked servant, you know that I was an austere man, taking up what I laid not down and reaping what I did not sow. Why did you not give my money into the bank, at least fixed deposit minimum, that at my coming I would have required my own with interest? He said the minimum you could have done, if you didn't know what to do, is to at least put it somewhere where it can bring out something. That's minimum. Is God speaking to somebody here? Listen to this. I've said it before. Money is not designed to be killed. Money is designed to birth more money. Not killed, but to birth more money. You know, in my language, spending money is killing money. The man can kill money too much. I'm sure most languages have such things. In some languages, waste money. That was the basic difference between Esau and Jacob. Dr. Mensah x-rayed this some time ago, that there is the Esau people and the Jacob people. You know, Esau is not on earth today. Esau was a killer. Jacob was a multiplier. Why? Esau was a hunter. Hunter means pursue the animal, kill it, eat it, then start looking for another one to pursue. That is how many people's behavior is with money. Pursue the salary for 30 days. Catch it, kill it. Start again. Pursue the contract. I just got 10 million, 100 million. Catch it, kill it. One house, one car, three cars. That's some people, some money, some generosity that looks like a drunkard's generosity. And then start again. That is the Esau operation. Pursue, catch, kill, start the pursuit. So these kind of people never succeed, they never make it, they never become anything. It's from breakthrough, breakdown, breakthrough again, breakdown, breakthrough again, breakdown, breakthrough again. They don't have anything that is sustainable. But Jacob was an animal husbandman. Catch the animal, multiply it. Crossmate them, bring more animal. If you need to eat, eat from one of the ones that grew. Continue to multiply. By the time Esau has expired, Jacob is still on earth today. It's called the tribe of Israel. That is a kind of, those are the categories of people we have in this world. It is, plenty money does not make a man rich. The presence of money doesn't make a rich man. And the absence of money doesn't make a poor man. You can give plenty money to a poor-minded person. It's only a matter of time. He will reduce back to scarcity. And let the man have no money, but let him have sense. It's only a matter of time. He will command plenty in a short time. Am I communicating? So you make up your mind. You have spent too much. You have wasted too much. For some of us here, all the monies that passed through your hand, if you had handled it well, you would be a billionaire now. If you handled it well. And your real worth is not really what you wear. What you wear can give you a good, pretty image. Your real worth is not even what you earn. They say that a man's real worth is how much he has 6 months, 1 year after he no longer has a paid job. That is when you know what he is worth. What comes to your hand every month doesn't determine you. It's what you are, how you are able to stand when nothing is coming regularly. Hallelujah. That's why some people just collapse immediately, they lose their job. Some just by the time they don't longer have a job or retire from work, they are gone. But I see somebody rising up here today. If you are the one, say louder, amen. If you are the one, say louder, amen. If your expenditure is more than your investment, your existence will soon become an embarrassment. Say that again. If your expenditure is more than your investments, your existence will soon become an embarrassment. If you are spending more than you are getting, very soon, life will be an embarrassment as a whole. Invest more. Expend less. The meaning is, when money hits your hand, big money, substantial money on any level, question is not what to buy. Question is, how can this be multiplied? Not what can I buy now. Not what is the next thing to buy. Question is, how can this get multiplied? Like I said, I call something mother money and daughter money. The mother money is the one that came wrong. The daughter money is the one that was produced from the first money that came. And if somebody comes to your house to marry, you don't marry out your wife. No. It's there. Your children can then get married, but not your wife. To say, okay, you want somebody? Do you like my wife? That must be demonic. Am I communicating? So there is something that is a money that enters raw. That one is to be multiplied. The one that one produces is what you can use from. It's what you can give away. It's what you can do anything you want with, but not the one that came raw. So it is not what can I buy new, but where can I invest? That was number three. Invest more, expend less. Number four, avoid waste. Avoid waste. Money is always in haste where there is waste. Money is always in haste where there is waste. The prodigal son. In Luke chapter 15, verse 13 and 14. Luke chapter 15, verse 13 and 14.
when he got his portion from his father, not many days after, he gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and he wasted his substance with riotous living. See? And when he had spent all, there arose a famine. Famine will always arise for the waster. Scarcity will always arise for the waster. Shortage will always be the outcome for the waster. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9, he said, he that is slothful in his work is a brother to him that is a great waster. That is the destiny of the lazy, is the same with the destiny of the waster. And what is their corporate on joint destiny? It is the destiny of poverty and adversity. He that is slothful is the same with he that is a waster. The lazy man will end in poverty. The waster will end in calamity. Am I communicating? I heard the story of a young lady. Father passed and left her with great inheritance. She sold all the houses, drank the money with big boyfriends, and just squandered everything, and then ended in calamity. Sons of big billionaires in time past, some of them are begging and borrowing now because they don't know how their father made the money. So when the money came, they rushed it in a hurry. And like they say, easy come, easy go. Waste. Let me give you a law on waste. And that is, don't buy what you don't need. And don't keep what you don't use. If you don't need it, don't buy it. If you are not using it, rapidly turn it into money. Let it go. God hates waste. He said, gather the fragments that nothing be wasted. John chapter 6 verse 13. He hates waste. 12 and 13. And they gathered together and filled 12 baskets. When they were filled, he said, gather up the fragments, let nothing be lost. Don't let food be wasting in your house. God is looking at it and then determining what to do with you. Overnight, they are pouring food away like water. Yesterday's garri is poured away. Yesterday's rice is poured away. Yesterday's everything is just poured away. That is the reason for refrigerators today. In the village, in those days when we were small, yesterday's night cassava is early morning's breakfast. They put it inside clay pot with the soup there in the clay pot. They frondize it together. I don't know. By this time they serve you in the morning like this, you'll be wondering where it came from. And the soup that is at the side, that one is better than the main soup. You know the brownish one that is at the side of the pot. That one, you scrape it with one finger like this. You know what I'm talking about? I saw you shaking your... Am I communicating? In those days, who would throw food away? It is repackaged and represented. Am I communicating? It is what? Repackaged and what? Baba. Represented. The garri is warmed again. Put it on fire. Mix it. Mix the heat with a new one. And just represent it. You see, there are... And I like something that modern day farming is doing right now. Where they are farming fish and doing animal husbandry and all these things together. The droplings of the animal becomes manure for the earth. What the bird is bringing becomes food for the fish, and so on. And the whole system is so tight that nothing is wasted at all. Don't buy it if you don't need it.
And don't keep it if you are not using it. You have cars lying down that you are not driving. Turn some of them into money. All right? And then multiply those resources and let it bring in more resources. Am I communicating at all? But the fact that something is wasting makes God to withhold his hand. He just withholds his hand. I tell you a story some time ago. I had a young man who used to do some work for me in the house. And he has a duty of assisting me. I'm not on salary in the church. I receive the blessing of the Lord from every corner of the world. And as he come, help me take them to the bank. That was his duty. If you gave him 80,000 to take to the bank, he will separate 20 out of it and pay 60 to the bank. And he kept doing that for a while. And I was not aware. You know, no matter how prophetic you are, there are things you may not know. You know, when the Shunammite woman's son died, Elisha said, something has happened and God has hid it from me. Even Samuel, the most prophetic man, could not discern who was the king until God showed him. So I was just like that. And I realized that my income has reduced. It's reducing. That is, what should come wasn't coming. That is, what should come in the first place before you can say, take to the bank. What was meant to come wasn't coming. So, before you could say, praise the Lord, the thief was discovered. I think before the thief was discovered, the Lord had now somewhat shown to me that there was a leakage somewhere. And then the thief was discovered. And then the Lord told me what I will never forget. He said, because there was the leakage and there was the hole through which the money was going, he said he stopped the release. He stopped it so it doesn't go to waste until it was found what was wasting it. Then it returned back to what it was. Spiritual things are very, very fearful. It returned back to what it was the moment the person stealing it was found. It returned back to what it was. And I won't forget what the Lord showed me. He said, because there was a leakage and there was a hole and it was going to waste, he stopped the wine coming so that it's not wasted until it is found out. So, why am I not seeing the kind of resources I should be seeing? Maybe there is a hole somewhere. Maybe there is a leakage somewhere. Maybe there is a lifestyle that is wasting it so terribly. And God is saying, look, even though I have the heaven and the earth, but I don't have it for waste. So, by the time you sort yourself out, and by the time the leakage is blocked, and by the time you diagnose the wastage, then we can continue from there. Please bear that in mind. Avoid waste. Number 5, maintain records. Order is doorway to wonders. And financial order will bring financial wonder. Why is it that you don't have any income record? That's personal income record. Your own personal income record. Because you don't think that you will ever have enough resources to warrant records. Oh yes, for as long as you are dealing with 20,000, 30,000, maybe you think there is no record, no need. But you don't wait for the future to get ready. You get ready to arrive at the future. You don't allow opportunity to meet you without preparation. You establish preparation before you jam with opportunity. Order. I learned to order my resources over 20 years ago. From when whatever will come to my hand a month is like 10,000 or 15,000, every single dime was recorded. You know the reason why? Records establish accountability and bring discipline. They establish accountability and bring discipline. They discipline They discipline your expenditure, even discipline your investments. When it is on record, this is what has come my way. This is what has come my way. Both what came in and what is going out on record. What happened in John chapter 6, verse 9 to 13, is an example of record keeping. There is a lad here which has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It was record. But what can this do among so many? Let's go on. Jesus said, make the men sit down. And there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather the fragments. Now, another record. Let nothing be lost. Account for everything. Account for everything. Therefore, they gathered them together, another record, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. If you don't know where you started from, how will you know where you will end? The starting point was recorded, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. The end point was recorded, 12 baskets filled with fragments. If there was no record, how will you know that they will be on the ground? Can become up to 12 baskets. Am I communicating? I heard this from my father in the Lord, Bishop Oyedepo, and I will never forget it. He said, if you are careless with 1,000 naira, 1,000 times, you lost 1 million without knowing. That is, 1,000 passed through your hands, and you are not aware. Just push it here, and it is 1,000 times. That's 1,000 times, 1,000 is a million. You lost 1 million without knowing. If you are 100 times careless with 1 million naira, you just wasted 100 million without your notice. Can you imagine how much many of us have lost without knowing? Because you did not establish records. Does this make sense to anybody? I want you to listen to this. Why is record necessary? First, records lay the foundation for progress. Until records are in place, progress can never be measured. It was when I began to record income that I realized that for the last 20 years that there has been no year that is the same. I realized that what used to be a year's income almost how many years ago became a monthly income after some time. And became almost daily income after some time. Records sets the pace for progress. Secondly, records establishes the foundation for gratitude. You are able to record what is coming your way, what is going out of your way, and then you are able to appreciate what God is doing. And that gratitude brings multiplication. The gratitude brings multiplication. And you are able to say, oh Lord, oh, so you mean that you brought this my way? Thirdly, records assist caution. If, for example, 100 million came your way in 1 year and you cannot account for 90 million, what happened here? What did I do with it? You mean 100 million came to my hand in 2020? What did I do with it? Oh, that is, I spent almost 50 million on aimless things. caution. Finally, of course, record establishes order. Order brings wonder. Whenever God sees order in a person's life, he will give you wonders that will shock you. To him that ordereth his conversation, shall I show the salvation of the Lord? I think that is Psalm 50 verse 21, thereabout, or 23. To him that ordereth his conversation, I will show. Psalm 50, 23. Whoso offereth praise to the friend. And to him that ordereth, the person that order conversation means lifestyle, actions. If you set your act, your life in, if you, your action are ordered, like in records, you say, I will show you wonders. And finally, I said finally before, record assists planning. You know that budgeting is done on the basis of previous year's records. That, okay, what is the next year's budget? Okay, how was the income picture like last year? So on the basis of that, we can make projections for the year ahead. It assists your planning. Oh, if this is what comes my way monthly, or comes my way, or came my way last year, what can I do this year? How do I, if I get such this year, what will I have done with it? It assists planning. So, be productive, produce something, present quality, invest more, expend less, avoid waste, maintain records. Finally, maintain a storehouse. What is a storehouse? You can call it a strategic reserve. It is scripture. Maintain a storehouse. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 and in verse 8, he said, the Lord shall command a blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thy hand unto. Storehouses. God expects storehouses. The place of the store. Proverbs chapter 21 verse 20. He said, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spends everything. How do you know a wise man? He keeps something aside. How do you know a foolish man? He spends everything. What is that? Keep something aside, no matter how little. Maintain a storehouse. Maintain a reserve. The word is, the blessing of the Lord is in search of the storehouse. The blessing of the Lord is looking for the storehouse. That is, my salary is only 10,000 a month. Okay, if it is only 100 naira or 1,000 after tithes and all that, kept aside, not to be touched. What is the benefit of the storehouse? One, the storehouse or this reserve is a faith action that says there will always be a leftover. Even when you have the need, you are putting it aside by faith, saying, a time will come when I won't be able to spend all the money. I will always keep something aside. That is, I have finished investing and finished doing everything. There will always be a leftover. You know, when this building was about to be completed, and we were getting ready for dedication, like 10 days to dedication. We needed hundreds of millions to put everything in shape. And we had a little reserve. Well, about 70. We had the reserve. While the construction was going on, there was still money in reserve. And our people said, all right, we have 10 days. Everybody is coming. Papa Yedekwa is coming. Bishop, everybody is coming. In order for this thing to finish well, for everybody to come, let's withdraw the reserve. And I told him, I said, that reserve, if we draw all of it, it still cannot finish the work. So let the reserve be reserved. And let's trust God for the money to finish it. And that money came within that time. And the reserve was left and continued till after the project. It's a faith statement. It is not a proof that you have enough. It is only an action that says, I will always have a leftover. And I don't wait until I have the leftover to put it aside. I will start putting aside now. I know spiritual journey is all about faith. Number two, the storehouse or the reserve confirms good management of resources and positions your life for the blessing of the Lord. God is watching how you are functioning. It positions you for the blessing. You are showing to God you are a good manager, not a waster. Because he said, the Lord shall command a blessing upon you in your storehouses and in all that you set your hand to do. He positions you for the blessing of the Lord. Thirdly, the Lord, the storehouse serves as a resources pool. It's a resources pool because, like you know, money travels in the direction of money. That is why they say the rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer. He said the blessing is looking for where the blessing is already. He will command the blessing upon the storehouse where something was there already. It's a pool. And fourthly, the storehouse positions you to maximize future opportunities. You were able to save 20 million and you are looking for 100 million, but 20 million was put aside. And a house worth 100 million is about to be given away for 20 million. And the man said, I have other monies, but I'm just looking for raw cash. I'm looking for raw cash now. Are you sure what you want to do? Oh, I'm over sure. All I need is 20 million. All right, here is 20 million. And you just got 100 million because you saved 20 million. Am I communicating? One of us here told me a story one time where he bought a property. Is it for 5 million or so? Just somebody on that. Okay, just give this to me to 5 million. Less than a few weeks later, somebody came and paid him 30 million, 6 times for what he just gave. When such don't exist, opportunities come and you are just stranded. Area 1 church land, the second half of the land, we bought it out of reserve. We didn't need to go struggle where we. Price was like, okay, this is what we are selling. Okay, we have all of it ready. Take the second part of it. Am I communicating at all? The first part. See, so it positions you. When it was time to purchase this place, there was massive reserve. Maybe one day I'll tell you the price of this place. That was a starting point to start running with. So there was no struggle. It was a starting point to start running with, and we ran with it aggressively. Beloved, it pays. Somebody say, but the tiny, tiny, tiny money I'm keeping, what if it doesn't produce any result? Keep it. Even if it does not amount to anything now, increase it to come to a point where it can do something major. Am I communicating? It's not compulsory that the storehouse is in a bank. It may be inside a property. It may be inside something. But ensure that that thing that it is inside is easily liquidatable. It can be turned to cash. Am I communicating? When needed. Is somebody understanding me at all? So to clarify that, the storehouse is where the money is kept for future opportunities and for future use, or for growth and increase, for future multiplications, and where you can use it to achieve impactful things, things you can touch. The storehouse is not for recurrent expenses. It is for capital major matters. Stand up on your feet. It's not from where I buy car tire, or from where I buy a dress or shoe. No. It is when it is grown, it is what you use to do major things, things you can point to, things that are landmark matters or further multiplications. You just went through a business school. Not Harvard, though. But you will make it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Please, I want a caution to some of us who have the tendency of wasteful living. It's good to be very, very generous, but be strategically generous. What did I say? If I was able to help 10 people, take, and that's all I do now, but I'm able to strategize, multiply the resources to a point where I can help 1 million people at once, which is better? Far more people. There are people, in the name of everything that enters their hand, disappears on the spot. Just be strategically impactful. Learn that, and the Lord will help us. Now, lift up your hands and lift up your voice and give the Lord the praise for what you have received tonight. Appreciate him, honor him, adore him. Father, thank you. Now listen to this. Some people say, why will pastor preach a message like this? Not even just when he's in church. You know what they are saying? Let the people who don't go to church learn these things so they can conquer money. And then let church people remain in poverty. Carry Bible and then just be talking in tongues without talking in cash. That's what the devil wants. He doesn't care what you know. For as long as you are bankrupt and in need, and you can, and you see, you can never give any vision motion without provision. It doesn't matter even to take people to heaven. See the right. Can you play the clip for us, the advert of the night vigil? See the crusades we had. Massive millions were spent. In one of the cities, they gave us a bill of 25 million for billboards alone, right? Yes. 22 million for billboards alone. Even though we slashed it down. Okay, whole bill was 22. Billboards was 8 million. Just for some things, not everything. But we spent far more than that and didn't take one offering on the crusade ground. Because we came for the souls, not for their cash. So we must carry our cash. You see? So the devil doesn't care. If you like, carry all the anointing you want. Archbishop Peter Hus, I say, I like the man. He talks. You see, anointing without money ends in annoyance. You are heavily anointed. You want to move and do crusade. They say pay for the square 5 million. Nothing. Bring stage. These are nothing. Annoyance. Anoint yourself. And the devil doesn't care whatever kind of mantle or anything you claim to have or whatever vision you have, for as long as you lack cash. So these kind of things are kept away from church people. Want to carry millions to heaven. And he said, my cities, true prosperity, shall be spread abroad.
and we must know what it takes to conquer that wealth in order to spread the cities abroad.
I know people who say, Lord, give me 1 billion. I will drop all of it. I won't take 1 naira for evangelism, for the kingdom. I won't take 1 naira. Try me. There are people like that. And God will do it. And he's already doing it for some people. That is why these things are preached. And as the Lord lives, the last days of your scarcity are the last forever. When I saw in scripture that wisdom goes hand in hand with wealth, then I also saw that there was a poor wise man, and that his wisdom was despised, I became confused. If wisdom can lead to wealth, why will a person be wise and still be poor? Then I realized that this is where a person has adequate information and knowledge of how it works without working it.